This morning on WCHL, former journalism school professor and journalism leader Chuck Stone died this weekend. We'll remember his many achievements. What was all the smoke we smelled last week, and will it continue?
They're planned in the summer for the fall and winter burn season.
And Orange County's early voting sites are all finalized now. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill cover of traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports, the national championship game in college basketball happens tonight. And UNC Baseball took another series victory over the weekend. And
now who do we root for in the national championship game?
That's this morning in our Chansky Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carrboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL, 51 degrees. It's a rainy day, 100% chance of more rain today. High today about 55 degrees, so not a lot of variation in temperature. It's a slow, steady rain. May as well go ahead and get used to it, but take along an umbrella, jacket, hat, something this morning as you leave home. A former professor of journalism at UNC and co-founder of the National Association of Black Journalists, Charles Sumner Chuck Stone Jr., died on Sunday at the age of 89. Stone was an influential writer for some of the leading African-American publications like the Washington Afro-American, the Chicago Daily Defender, and the New York Age. At UNC, Stone taught censorship and magazine writing from 1991 until his retirement in 2004. He first began his teaching career while he was at the Daily News and taught at Bryn Mawr College's Graduate School of Social Work and Social Research. He taught at Harvard in the John F. Kennedy School of Government back in the early 80s, and he also taught journalism at the University of Delaware in the middle 80s. He spent more time teaching at UNC than anywhere else. Professor Emeritus Phil Meyer of the UNC Journalism School is joining us now. And Phil, this is quite a loss for the university and the Chapel Hill community.
Yeah, Chuck will certainly be missed. He had a great career and a varied career.
He's probably best known for being a civil rights journalist, but he was quite active in the civil rights movement and certainly a prominent member of the university community. What was Chuck like to work with on a personal basis?
Well, I first met him after I went to Washington for night newspapers in, let's see, that would have been 1962. And my first encounter that I remember with Chuck was when his boss, Adam Clayton Powell, who was chairman of the House Education and Labor Committee, got into some trouble for running off to Bimini with his secretary. And my assignment was to track him down, so I went to see Chuck and asked about it, and Chuck stonewalled me. He said, I don't call him, he calls me, and claimed no knowledge of it. So that got us off to a bad start. But then we became neighbors because we were both involved in a fair housing movement that was trying to defeat a real estate plan to blockbuster a bunch of neighborhoods in Northwest Washington to convert them from all white to all black. And the organization to which Chuck and I belonged was determined to make it an integrated neighborhood, which was a radical notion at the time. And there we were comrades in arms. We took part in a number of activities. Chuck lived just around the corner from me. And it was a great time, both for journalism and for the civil rights movement.
There are several university communities that may be in mourning today because of the loss of Chuck Stone, but he spent most of his time teaching, the longest tenure, at the University of North Carolina. And I know that you know Chuck Stone loved this university and this town.
He sure did. He was a natural teacher. He was naturally outgoing and intellectually curious and got along fine with students. And he made himself visible and distinctive in several ways. He always wore a bow tie. When it was cold, he wore a Burberry scarf. He drove a convertible and had the top down in all kinds of weather. So students paid attention to him.
Always nattily dressed. It was hard to ignore Chuck Stone, not just for his dress, but for a number of reasons. You mentioned a famous name a moment ago, Adam Clayton Powell, but he was a friend of Martin Luther King Jr. and knew other such famous people. He rubbed shoulders with everyone.
That's right, and a lot of famous people came to visit him in our neighborhood. I recall one neighborhood party where one of the guests was the jazz musician, Cannonball Adderley. And it was the time when I first made, when Sue and I made our first black friends. And Chuck and Lee Stone were the first time we had gotten to know African Americans on a close personal level. And Chuck's personality made that possible. And that also made him very valuable in Chapel Hill.
Chuck stood out for a number of reasons, not just because he was a good writer and a good journalist, but also because he was always in good shape. He rode his bike all over town and dressed the way he did and drove the car that he did. And he always had a smile on his face. I'm sure you have that remembrance as well.
Yes, this is true.
This is a guy who loved life, loved his students, and really had a positive effect on everyone he touched over the years. And I know I'm going to miss him, although I didn't really know him all that well, but you probably knew him a lot better, and a lot of other people are feeling the same way this morning.
In his last days, his memory started to go, but his long-term memory was still good. So I could visit him, and we could still talk about the old days in Washington and the old days of the Civil Rights Movement. But it became difficult for him to remember what had happened five minutes ago. But he hung in there very, very well.
Well,
and even in the assisted living center where he lived, he was very, very popular and outgoing, and everybody knew him and was glad to have him around.
He was indeed an icon in the university, the community, and the world has lost a great one. Former UNC professor of journalism, Chuck Stone, and so many accomplishments, really too numerous to mention. Professor Emeritus Phil Meyer has been talking with us, and Phil, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
I'm happy to do so, and we'll see you around the village.
811 at WCHL, 51 degrees in Chapel Hill, kind of a rainy day. We do have other news to report this morning. If you happen to smell smoke outside over the next few weeks, and you're pretty sure it's not coming from your immediate area, then there's a chance it may be coming from a controlled burn by forest managers. In other words, it's supposed to be like that. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more.
On Twitter this past Thursday, a lot of folks expressed concern about a layer of smoke hanging over a large portion of Chapel Hill that afternoon. As it turns out, the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission conducted a controlled burn in 218 acres of Jordan game lands that day. Here's Wildlife Forest Manager Brandon Miner. He works in District 5, an 11-county district that includes Orange, Durham, Alamance, and Chatham.
The purpose was to improve the wildlife habitat within a thin pine stand.
Miner added that reducing the probability of a wildfire was also a goal of the burn. He says that an unforeseen wind shift was likely the reason so many people all over Chapel Hill may have seen and smelled smoke on Thursday.
We had a little shower of rain that actually come through when we was burning it. It kind of set the smoke down and held it tight to the ground, and it didn't let it go up.
According to Miner, the result was that low cloud of smoke.
The predicted wind was actually southwest for that day, the transport wind, and that would have taken it above everything, but that rain was really what kind of hurt us.
Miner says the burn for Jordan Game Lands was planned well in advance.
We do annual burn prescriptions on each game lands that we manage, and these are planned in the summer for the fall and winter burn season.
But precise scheduling is always at the mercy of Mother Nature.
The wet winter we've had so far has prevented us from doing a bunch of control burns or prescribed burns like we wanted to, and so this time of year is when we get the best control on our hardwood.
He says this is also when controlled burning produces the best wildlife habitat results. According to Miner, controlled burning by the Wildlife Resources Commission could continue through the first week of May or whenever all the sweet gums and underbrush start to get really green. He says that makes it harder for a fire to carry through a timber stand. Plus, humidity would start to lower the intensity of a burn. Miner says that all questions about controlled burning by the Wildlife Resources Commission can be directed to the Raleigh office at 919-707-0010. For more information, you can find this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
The State Board of Elections has officially approved Orange County's early voting sites, including one close to but not on the UNC campus. Concerns about accessibility led members of the Orange County Board of Elections to take Ram's Head Dining Hall off the list of possible sites this year. Board members examined other options for on-campus voting, but ultimately settled on the North Carolina Hillel Center on West Cameron Avenue. While that's very close to the UNC campus, some worry its off-campus location will not appeal to student voters. A plan to use Cobb Residence Hall as an additional on-campus voting site failed to gain traction with the majority of the local board members. The sites approved for early voting are the Hillel Center and the Seymour Senior Center on Homestead Road in Chapel Hill, the Board of Elections Office and the Master's Garden Preschool in Hillsboro, and also Town Hall in Carrboro. Recent changes to state law mean early voting will only run for 9 days this year, and registration during early voting is no longer allowed. The deadline to register to vote is Friday, April 11. Those changes in early voting made by the North Carolina General Assembly last year. You can download registration forms from the Board of Elections website, or you can pick them up at Carrboro Town Hall, Chapel Hill Town Hall, and public libraries throughout the county. For a full list of locations offering voter registration forms, you can visit our website, chapelboro.com. WCHL News Time, 8:15. Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. This traffic report is brought to you by Berkeley Grimble and the folks at Grimble Jewelers. If you're looking for an engagement ring, maybe it's time to pop the question. Well, you need to go see Berkeley Grimble at Grimble's. And Grimble Jewelers is always there for you. Chapel Hill's premier full-service jeweler, Grimble's, in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods. Well, so far this morning, things moving along fairly well. Some of the usual congestion spots this morning, but nothing out of the ordinary. Some congestion building on I-40, particularly out near the park, but otherwise things moving along fairly smoothly. Nothing really out of the ordinary this morning. If you spot anything that is unusual, or certainly if you get stuck in traffic, when you can, do it safely. Get in touch with us, 919-967-8363. That's our newsroom number. You can also tweet us at WCHL, and you can become a WCHL Road Warrior. We'll pass along the word. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather brought to you by Sturtevant Tire Pros in Chapel Hill. Visit 942tire.com, or you can give them a call at 942-TIRE. Sturtevant Tire Pros and Highway 54 West, just 5 minutes out of downtown Carrboro. Sturtevant Tire Pros. All right. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carrboro weather. It is 51 degrees. Showers likely all day. 100% chance. High today about 55, so not a lot of change. Not going to get a lot warmer than it is right now. Tonight, rain likely, 70% chance of it. Slight chance of thunderstorms overnight. Overnight low in the low 50s. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with the highs in the middle 60s. So a little bit better weather tomorrow. But certainly a rainy day today. Don't want to spend much time outside today. Just stay inside and keep warm and keep dry. 8:17 at WCHL. Championship sports on the way next. It's been more than a month since a pipe burst at the bottom of a pond in Eden, North Carolina, causing thousands of tons of coal ash to spill into the Dan River. The spill has had a profound effect on residents in the area, and not just the human population. One scientist from Appalachian State recently made his way to the river to look at some of the area's smallest inhabitants. Abigail Brewer, a reporter with the Carolina Connection, went with him.
Looks like you could come in off the bank and maybe sample for inverts right there.
There's a riffle right there.
Yeah, I saw that.
With neoprene waders on, biologist Shade Tuberty steps from the banks of the Dan River into its frigid, flowing waters. He's hoping to look beneath the water's surface and search the benthic, a riverbed community, for signs of life. This isn't the first time Tuberty has done this. 5 years ago, he was on the site of a much bigger and more toxic coal ash spill in Tennessee.
When I heard about the number of tons, you know, we were dealing with 500,000 tons in the TVA spill, it was still difficult to determine, you know, negative impacts on the fish community. I thought maybe because I knew there would be a better benthic community here than we had in the at the TVA site, that it would be possible to see immediate impacts.
The day Tuberty heard that about 39,000 tons of coal ash, that's about 78 million pounds, had spilled in North Carolina, he was itching to learn of its impacts. Coal ash contains elements, such as arsenic, selenium, and mercury, that can disrupt an entire ecosystem. Many insects and worms call the mucky riverbed home. Tuberty samples these at two places on the river, one downstream of the spill, and one closer to the point of the spill.
All right, ready to do another one, Matt?
Yeah, that's good.
A couple different things by being patient here. But...
One of Tuberty's students stands a couple feet from a kick seam, a net held between two poles, and kicks up the muck. In this process, a number of insects are trapped in the net.
It's a free-living caddisfly. It might have been a phylloptomidae.
These samples will be taken back to the lab to test for toxicity. NC State biologist David Buckwalter says that after a coal ash spill, toxic elements are released relatively quickly.
Well, it will probably take several years for all of the material to leach out, but by the end of that period of time, it would be leaching out at a very slow rate. So I would assume that most of the action will have occurred, you know, in the more immediate, you know, post-spill time frame, you know.
In the downstream section of the Dan River, there isn't any clear sign of trouble. Coal isn't present on the banks, and it's not found in the muck when the insect samples are collected. That doesn't mean that the Dan River isn't in trouble. It may be 6 months to a year before we know the impacts on the organisms living in the river. A major cause of concern for scientists are the elements selenium and arsenic.
Selenium is a little bit unique in that it gets picked up at the base of food webs by bacteria and algae and diatoms and such. And those organisms at the base of aquatic food webs take that selenium.
In addition to his jar of insects, Tuberty is taking a species of Asian clam that was introduced into the river years ago.
They're constantly bringing in the water right at the water sediment interface. And so they're one of the most endangered organisms based on their interactions with the metals that become part of the sediment.
While efforts to clean up the coal ash spill continue, the health of an entire ecosystem lays in the balance. Buckwalter notes that situations like these could prevent the coal industry from storing wet coal in ponds in the future. In Eden, I'm Abigail Brewer.
Abigail Brewer is a reporter with Carolina Connection. Carolina Connection is the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication, produced entirely by UNC students. It airs every Saturday morning right here on WCHL at 8:30 during the academic year. 8:21 at WCHL. And coming up on WCHL, we're going to talk a little Carolina baseball. And also, we'll talk about the national championship game, which is coming up tonight. And right now on WCHL Championship Sports, brought to you by UNC Healthcare. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Well, let's start with Carolina baseball. Number 30 North Carolina baseball team completed its series victory over Boston College on Sunday with a dominating 12-2 win to improve to 18-13 overall and 7-8 in ACC play. This victory on the road, of course. With the loss, the Eagles dropped to 10-20 on the season, 2-13 in conference action. More importantly, it was a good way to build some more momentum with this Carolina baseball team. Freshman pitcher Zach Gallen turned in a solid performance, combining with reliever Riley Hovis to allow just 2 runs off 5 base hits. Michael Russell reached base 5 different times and scored 3 runs, while Parks Jordan and Landon Lassiter got in on the offensive explosion with 3 runs apiece as well. Next up, the Tar Heels, the opener of a 5-game homestand. Carolina will host North Carolina A&T on Tuesday at 6 p.m. inside Boschmer Stadium. Coming up this weekend, it's a big ACC series with Wake Forest. Well, now let's talk about basketball. The NCAA Men's Championship game takes place tonight. UConn and Kentucky couldn't have met in last year's championship game. Few people gave them a chance to be in this year's, but they are. 7th seed Connecticut and 8th seed Kentucky meet tonight in the NCAA title match. Neither was around in last year's postseason. Connecticut because of a tournament ban over academic issues. Kentucky because it didn't make the field. They both have made their presence felt this year on the way to an unlikely title game. Unlikely because one was a number 7 seed and the other a number 8 seed. They both have made it to the championship game. So much for seedings, huh? Connecticut is 31-8 on the season. They brought defense to the forefront in a big way. In a 5-game run that has the Huskies within 40 minutes of their 4th national championship. Everybody following the exploits of their young coach, Kevin Ollie, and the UConn Huskies. Kentucky, under the direction of John Calipari, has used late-game heroics from Aaron Harrison, one of 5 freshmen who start for the Wildcats. They're 29-10. Can't call them freshmen anymore. They've got a full season under their belt. They're looking for title number 9 for the University of Kentucky. Again, it's Kentucky and UConn at the national championship game tonight. And it will be the battle of unbeatens in the championship game for the NCAA women tomorrow night. Kayla McBride scored 28 points. Jewel Lloyd added 16 as Notre Dame clobbered Maryland 87-61 to advance to tomorrow night's title game in Nashville. The 37-0 Irish jumped out to a 17-point halftime lead and out-rebounded the Terrapins 50-21. Notre Dame has been really dominant this season. The only team that's been more dominant is UConn, and Connecticut pulled away late in the first half before dominating the remainder of a 75-56 win over Stanford yesterday. Brianna Stewart finished with 18 points and 7 rebounds. Kalina Mosqueda-Lewis added 15 for the Huskies, who are 39-0. A championship game coming up tomorrow night, 8:30 on ESPN. It's 8:25. That's a quick look at WCHL Championship Sports. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Now, who do we root for in the national championship game? This is our Chansky with Monday Sports Notebook. With the odds on favorite to win the NCAA tournament upset in the first game, and the sentimental favorite losing at the buzzer in the second game, an absolutely compelling Final Four hasn't left us with a really good choice now, has it? UConn looked completely dead after scoring only 4 points in the first 11 minutes against favored Florida. But the Huskies and their amazing point guard Shabazz Napier made the Gators look more like footballers trying to play round ball for the rest of the way. Maybe Florida also thought it was over at 16-4 before Napier got the offense and UConn clearly looking like the better team. And how about Aaron Harrison and John Calipari doing it again? For the better Harrison twin, it was the third straight game he made the winning play at the buzzer. And for Calipari, at least a third straight game his team has been behind, figured out how to come back, and then won it at the end. Everyone outside Big Blue Nation wanted Wisconsin to win and veteran coach Bo Ryan to reach his first Final Four. But it came down to the one foul shot the Badgers missed and the NBA tray Harrison made a few seconds later. While Wisconsin had one last shot, by that time the basketball gods were calling Kentucky back to the Final Four for a third time in the last 4 years. Why, I have no earthly idea. The Wildcats are like the Yankees, the Patriots, and the Heat. Other than their considerable legions of fans, few others root for them. Is it fair that Calipari makes his fifth Final Four with three different schools, while the white-haired Wisconsin coach probably lost his best shot to get there? And UConn, I remember when Carolina beat the Huskies in the 1998 East Region Final, again frustrating coach Jim Calhoun, who had been so close but just couldn't seem to win that Elite Eight game. Well, since then, Connecticut has been to 4 Final Fours under Calhoun and cut down the nets 3 times. Does it somehow seem fair that his second-year successor, Kevin Ollie, who was coaching in the NBA for 10 years and once wanted to stay there, takes the Huskies in his first season they are eligible to go? I like how Kentucky has improved and Calipari coaches, and I think they will win. But you cannot believe UConn Shabazz until you see him control the game. Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if the 7th seed found a way to beat the 8th seed. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
Tri-Sports is Chapel Hill's newest retail destination for walking, running, swimming, cycling, fitness, and yoga. Located at University Mall, we're celebrating our grand opening with exciting events through the month of April. This Friday, we're kicking off a weekend-long celebration of cycling with deals on brands such as Pinarello, Felt, Scott, Giordana, and Pearl Izumi. Saturday at 9 a.m., we're having a charity bike ride to support our partner, the Chapel Hill Carborough YMCA. So stop by Tri-Sports this weekend. We're next to Southern Season for cycling specials and more.
Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been in business since 1907 and been here in downtown Carborough since 1923. We've always strived to provide you with the three most valuable things in the construction supply business: competitive prices, excellent customer service, and top quality building products. That's our goal to you. So please stop by to see just why Fitz Lumber and Hardware has been going strong for over a century. You'll be glad you did. We appreciate your business. Here comes Fitch.
The Kennedy Dental Group has relocated to brand new offices in the former WCHL building at the bottom of East Franklin Street. For more than 20 years, the Kennedy Dental Group has established an unbeatable standard of diagnosis, treatment, and dental care for patients. Doctors Jeff Kennedy, Richard Wagner, and Leland Webb have more than 100 years of experience and continue to be recognized locally in the best dentist category. Visit their brand new offices at 1721 East Franklin Street or go to KennedyDentalGroup.com.
Today's Our Local Deal is from Progression Climbing. It's half off, $60 for an introduction to rock climbing package, including a two-week membership, available now for $30. Progression Climbing is a state-of-the-art climbing gym for climbers of all levels. Make sure to check out and register for their youth full-day summer camps for ages 5 to 14, and their youth climbing teams, both recreational and competitive, with weekly practices. You can register for these programs at climbprogression.com. This deal is available for a limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
This is Larry Fedora, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News on 97.9 FM, Chapel Hill Carboro's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Now, here's Ron Stutz.
All right, Coach, thank you so much, and good luck as you continue with spring practice for the Carolina football team. We're all excited about this fall. It's 8:30 at WCHL, and time now for your Chapel Hill Carboro weather, brought to you by Grimble Jewelers. They're always there for you. Chapel Hill's full-service jeweler in the Village Plaza, right next to Whole Foods on Elliott Road. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carboro weather, 52 degrees and wet this morning. It's slow, steady rain pretty much all night, and so far this morning, showers today, 100% chance of it. High today about 55, not a lot of variation. Tonight, rain likely with a slight chance of thunderstorms. Low tonight in the low 50s. Temperatures are going to stay pretty much where they are, and then chance of rain is 70% overnight. Tomorrow, we're looking at partly sunny skies with a high in the middle 60s, a little bit better. Tomorrow night, we'll have a slight chance of rain with a low in the low 40s, and then on Wednesday, partly sunny with a chance of a shower late in the day, in particular, and a high around 65 degrees.
Check out our comprehensive community calendar, photo galleries, and all of our news stories and more from 97.9 FM WCHL on chapelboro.com.
Dave Barrett, it says, good a lead as any they've had out in the Indian Ocean in the month-long search for Malaysia Flight 370. Correspondent Seth Doan.
The signals that were detected by that Australian ship are consistent with the sort of pings that come from the aircraft's black boxes. They were detected by the Ocean Shield, that Australian ship. It's carrying a sophisticated towed pinger locator, which operates as a sort of almost a microphone in the ocean. It can detect sound.
Experts hope to pin down just where those pings have been coming from.
This is a race against time. The battery life on these black boxes, the pinger locator signal, is set to last for about a month, and today was day 31 of the search.
If the signal's picked up again, the Bluefin 21 would be launched. It's an underwater vehicle that can create a sonar map of the ocean floor, and if a debris field is found, a camera could be installed on the Bluefin to photograph wreckage. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, talk, and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
50 degrees this morning, 8:32 at WCHL. I'm Rod Stutz. A former professor of journalism at the University of North Carolina and co-founder of the National Association of Black Journalists, Charles Sumner Chuck Stone Jr., died on Sunday at the age of 89. Stone was an influential writer for some of the leading African-American publications, like the Washington Afro-American, the Chicago Daily Defender, and the New York Age. At UNC, Stone taught censorship and magazine writing from 1991 until he retired in 2004. He first started his teaching career while he was at the Daily News and taught at Bryn Mawr College's Graduate School of Social Work and Social Research. He taught at Harvard University and the John F. Kennedy School of Government back in the early 80s and taught journalism at the University of Delaware in the middle 80s. Former UNC Chancellor Holden Thorpe tweeted, "Thank you, Chuck Stone, for so much. What an unbelievable source of inspiration and encouragement for us all." Stone is survived by his children, Krishna Stone, Allegra Stone, and Charles St. Stone III, grandchild Parade Stone, and sisters Madeline Seymour and Irene Gordy. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to the Chuck Stone Citizen of the World Fund at the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication Foundation of North Carolina. UNC J School professor and former colleague of Chuck Stone, Charlie Tuggle, says despite all the many things he accomplished in his life, Stone was always a humble, down-to-earth man.
Chuck had a great sense of humor. He always had such a big smile, and you felt like he could have just come from tea with Gandhi, and yet when he sees you, he wants to know, how are you doing? How's the family? what's going on? How's that student performing in your class?
Tuggle says Stone was not only a civil rights activist, but a human rights activist. He says he would often share, not in a boastful way, that he was on a first-name basis with Malcolm X, Martin Luther King Jr., and even knew Gandhi. Tuggle says the content Stone taught and the way in which he taught it made him one of the most popular professors on the UNC campus.
You just can't put into words the influence that he had on our campus, just his class and censorship that was oversubscribed every semester, students clamoring to get into it, and he was so popular among the students and just a genuinely nice guy to work with.
To hear the full interview between Charlie Tuggle and yours truly, and also an interview from earlier today from UNC J School Professor Emeritus Phil Meyer, you can go to our website at chapelboro.com. Chuck Stone, dead at the age of 89 over the weekend. If you happen to smell smoke outside over the next few weeks, and you're pretty sure it's not coming from your immediate area, then there's a chance it may be coming from a controlled burn by forest managers. WCHL's Danny Hooley has more on the story.
On Twitter this past Thursday, a lot of folks expressed concern about a layer of smoke hanging over a large portion of Chapel Hill that afternoon. As it turns out, the North Carolina Wildlife Resources Commission conducted a controlled burn in 218 acres of Jordan Game Lands that day. Here's Wildlife Forest Manager Brandon Miner. He works at District 5, an 11-county district that includes Orange, Durham, Alamance, and Chatham.
The purpose was to improve the wildlife habitat within a thin pine stand.
Miner added that reducing the probability of a wildfire was also a goal of the burn. He says that an unforeseen wind shift was likely the reason so many people all over Chapel Hill may have seen and smelled smoke on Thursday.
We had a little shower of rain that actually come through when we was burning it. It kind of set the smoke down and held it tight to the ground, and it didn't let it go up.
According to Miner, the result was that low cloud of smoke.
The predicted wind was actually southwest for that day, the transport wind, and that would have taken it above everything, but that rain was really what kind of hurt us.
Miner says the burn for Jordan Game Lands was planned well in advance.
We do annual burn prescriptions on each game lands that we manage, and these are planned in the summer for the fall and winter burn season.
But precise scheduling is always at the mercy of Mother Nature.
The wet winter we've had so far has prevented us from doing a bunch of controlled burns or prescribed burns like we wanted to. And so this time of year is when we get the best control on our hardwood.
He says this is also when controlled burning produces the best wildlife habitat results. According to Miner, controlled burning by the Wildlife Resources Commission could continue through the first week of May or whenever all the sweet gums and underbrush start to get really green. He says that makes it harder for a fire to carry through a timber stand. Plus, humidity would start to lower the intensity of a burn. Miner says that all questions about controlled burning by the Wildlife Resources Commission can be directed to the Raleigh office at 919-707-0010. For more information, you can find this story at chapelboro.com. Danny Hooley, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Thanks, Danny. It's 837 at WCHL. That's everybody tweeting left and right, up and down, all over the place. Always look forward to talking with Zach Godwin of chapelboro.com. And what's happening as we tweet today, tell us all about it, would you?
Well, Ron,
I'm just curious as I can be.
Last night was dominated by two stories of very different natures. I'm going to talk about something else, but as I was looking over Twitter yesterday, all I could see was, of course, Chuck Stone everybody was talking about him. And on the other end of the spectrum, apparently last night was WrestleMania 30. And
really?
It was apparently a big shocker. I know absolutely nothing about wrestling. I have some friends who follow it. But apparently The Undertaker lost, and that was apparently a very big deal.
Really?
That's really all the information I can give you because I have no idea what's going on with
it. Who won?
I want to say, I think it was Brock Lesnar beat him, and people did not like that.
Okay.
But I'll talk about something I know a little more about, but it was just amazing how popular that was with people you would never expect.
Yeah.
I found something interesting.
It's a phenomenon, that's for sure.
Yes. A Chapel Hill native, Blair Tyndall, is a classical oboist who wrote a book in 2005 called Mozart in the Jungle, Sex, Drugs, and Classical Music.
Wow.
And
I've heard of that.
I had not heard of it, but I found this article, and apparently Amazon, you may know, has been making their own original TV shows, mm-hmm. And they're making one out of this Chapel Hill native's book.
Wow.
And it's about just, she joined the New York Philharmonic, she played for the San Francisco Symphony, and she played on Broadway in the 80s and the 90s. And was just kind of shocked by all the crazy stuff. You know, you think of everybody playing classical music just being a bunch of, you know, really proper stiffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's
really cool. I mean, I've not read the book, obviously, mm-hmm. but I've heard of it because of the unusual title. And I knew that it was written by somebody in Chapel Hill. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, she apparently the classical music folks didn't like all their secrets getting out. So she kind of, after this book, it said last year she was driving a limo as a classically trained oboist, but now that she's kind of, you know, this kind of bringing her back out, and it's just really cool to see somebody from this area, their work of art, it was a book, and now it's becoming a television series online, which is kind of the new trend, you know, like House of Cards on Netflix winning all those awards. I watched that show in like 3 days. I ran through it, and so it's great to see somebody local getting in on that trend.
Well, anytime somebody writes a tell-all book, you know, it's going to make some people unhappy.
Yeah.
If you're telling the truth about, you know, the inside story about something. I mean, we see it happen over and over again, so I guess it's only natural that it would happen with her as well.
Yeah.
So, hey, thanks a lot. If somebody wants to tweet us, how do they get in touch with us?
Just at Chapelboro as our handle, or you can contact at WCHL if you've got some news stuff you'd like to share. We love mm-hmm. hearing from you. Any information you've got, we'd love to hear it.
All right. A lot of things on chapelboro.com, by the way, including a new photo gallery from the Orange County Expo that happened on Friday at University Mall, and just about anything that happens in the community, you can find it on chapelboro.com, not only in words, but also in pictures.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Ron.
It is 8:41 at WCHL. It's Ron Stutz, some special guests in the studio, and we'll tell you all about them and why they're here coming up next.
This is Kit Ballew of Franklin Street Realty.
And I'm Sammy Martin. Over the last 15 years, thousands of you out there have worked with us to buy or sell property, and you always come back and you always refer your friends and family to us.
We are grateful for that loyalty and never take you for granted. This message really isn't for you. In fact, you guys hum quietly to yourselves. You know who you are.
This message is for those of you who don't have the kind of relationship with a realtor that we have with our clients. If you are buying or selling property this spring, you owe it to yourself to call Franklin Street.
Obviously, we prefer to be the only call you make, but if you're looking around, we should certainly be on your short list. Do this. Go to our website, check us out, give us a call.
FranklinStreetRealty.com. Our phone number is there, our agents are there, the bus schedule is there.
The buses here are free.
Yeah, and all kinds of cool links to local stuff.
Local, you mean like us, locally owned and operated?
Exactly. Not just another pretty faceless corporation. Franklin Street Realty at 929-7174. Why would you call anyone else?
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates. Call or stop by one of our three convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank, you deserve banking like this.
Warmer weather has finally made its way back to North Carolina, and we are ready to celebrate at Great Outdoor Provision Company. Right now, we're featuring a fantastic collection of sharp, inspired apparel from Southern Marsh. From Gadwall gingham button-ups to authentic tees highlighting sport fishing in the Old North State, these products from Southern Marsh are sure to enhance your summer adventures from the mountains to the coast. Stop by your local shop today and discover the entire collection. Great Outdoor Provision Company, like us on Facebook, and visit greatoutdoorprovision.com.
Morning, it is 8:43 at WCHL. It's Ron Stutz and a couple of special guests in the studio this morning. Lisa Markison is here and Ron Royster is here. And how are you folks?
We're great.
Thanks for coming in. That was perfect. You've been working together, and so you've kind of got this dual thing going.
We've got
here.
A rhythm going.
Yeah. Ron Royster, you've heard about him because he was an overall winner in the 2014 Healthiest You Challenge. And Ron is in here all slim and svelte. How you doing, Ron?
I feel great.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I know that Lisa Markison is one of the reasons why, because Lisa is an aquatics instructor Tell us about what you do, Lisa.
I teach aquatics at Wellness Center at Meadowmont, and I've been doing that for about almost 8 years now.
Yeah, and you've did it for 6 weeks, I guess, with Ron Royster and others. And first of all, Ron, tell me about winning the challenge. I know that talking to you on the night that we wrapped it all up at the UNC Wellness Center, you even got kind of emotional because it meant so much to you.
Oh, yeah.
And the people meant so much to you.
Yeah, I had so much gratitude for, you know, Lisa and my instructors and my girlfriend who helped me juice. I mean, juicing is no easy task. It works great, but you have to be really dedicated, you know. It takes hours of prep to make juice for, you know, 3 days. And that's what I do. I make them for 3 days in a row. But what had happened, I had hit a wall. I was dieting and exercising, and I quit losing weight. And I was like, how am I going to win this challenge? Mm-hmm. And so one of the problems I had was, I weighed so much when I started and hadn't done anything in so long. I was having a really hard time doing a lot of the exercises. Ankles hurt. And then it was part of the challenge to take an aquatics class, and I was like, oh, this is great. You can get a great workout, and it doesn't hurt your feet. And so that's how it started, and then I became addicted. Like, that's pretty much all I do now is aquatics classes. And, you know, you can go at your own pace. You can make it light, or you can make it crazy. And so I usually, you know, go extra crazy.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm guessing that you made it crazy. Ron Royster, if you don't mind my asking, you were the overall male winner. And so tell us why you won, how much weight you lost, and the changes you made.
Well, after I started juicing, the weight really came off. So I lost a total of 28.8 pounds, and that was out of the six-week challenge. But most of the weight loss came in the 2.5 weeks that I was juicing.
Wow.
And since then, I'm going to go on a 60-day juice, and I think today's day 26, and I have lost 43 pounds.
Oh, good for you.
So wow. I'm down to 243 pounds.
Which I was going to say, you're even thinner than I thought. But Lisa Markison, tell me about what you do there, about what aquatics can mean to people who are trying to get in shape. And tell me about this guy. Do you enjoy working with him?
Oh, he was great. He came into the class, and there were like one other man and 20 women.
Wow.
And he wasn't afraid. He
was pretty good odds.
I like that.
Yeah.
And he was very upbeat and clearly having a good time, and I could tell that he liked music. We try to make the aquatics fun so that you don't really feel like you're working hard and exercising. You find out afterwards how hard you worked.
Yeah.
But it's about having a good time dancing in the water, aerobic, stretch. Low impact, doesn't hurt you at all. And you can basically work at your own pace.
You hear about a lot of athletes sometimes, you know, rehabbing with aquatics or rehabbing in the water, and because it's not, you know, impactful on your joints and that sort of thing.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And it's just fun. And he was very competitive. That's what I liked about him. One of the first things. Clearly competitive. And that's, I mean, for what he was doing, it was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
In the class, it's not necessary. But for what he was doing, I could tell he was going to do it. He said, I want to lose that. I want to win this.
Yeah.
I said, oh, you want to win?
Yeah.
You want to win?
Well, and indeed, Ron Royster did.
Yeah.
Lisa, aquatics instruction is just one of the many things available at UNC Wellness Center.
Right.
And it's not just for UNC employees.
Oh, not at all.
Tell folks how they can find out more about what's offered
there.
Well,
you can go on to uncwellnesscenter.com. I think that's the email address. And people can go and try out a class and just pay for a class. You don't have to join to actually take a class there or go to the pool.
Mm-hmm.
You pay a fee, you go for the day or go for a class and see if you like it. And then Judy is the person who you can talk to. You go to Meadowmont, and it's close to Harris Teeter. You can find it easily if you drive over there.
Well, Ron Royster, I know that part of this thing was the camaraderie that you had not only with Lisa but with the other contestants in the Healthiest You Challenge. And this turned out to be a really productive 6 weeks in your life, and I know that it's changed your life on a permanent basis.
Yeah, I was on Team Twig, and thank Twig over there for sponsoring us.
And the Village Plaza next to Whole Foods.
And so basically, out of the eight teams, we won every single award other than one. So I was really proud of everybody. Everybody really worked hard and was, they were crazier than I was. And that's pretty crazy. That's extra crazy.
Well, listen, thanks a lot for taking part in the Health Issue Challenge. Our thanks to the UNC Wellness Center for being a part of all of that, and UNC Healthcare for being our sponsor, and all of our other sponsors as well.
I'd like to thank my boss, too. My boss let me off of work this morning. I run a criminal defense law firm, Edwards and Trinkle. We do everything from speeding tickets to first-degree murder. So if
how about first-degree weight loss? Anyway, thank you very much, Ron and Lisa.
It was fun to be here.
Thanks for being here. Yeah. It is 8:49 at WCHL. And don't forget, we'll do it again next year, the Healthiest You Challenge. And we'll tell you all about it as we get closer to it, of course. But always a huge success. And we always love talking to people who make it work. Coming up next on WCHL, today's commentary.
What's happening at the New Hickory Tavern in Carrboro today? Everything. 275 bottle beer specials, 375 20-ounce drafts, 475 liquor specials, and $2 Tallboy cans of Miller High Life and PBR. How about 40 beer taps, more than half from North Carolina, and 60 different bottle beers, plus a private dining room for your business lunch or personal party. The food is fab, a full menu from edible entrees to small plates inspired by the best food trucks in America. The Hickory Tavern in Carrboro, serving a full menu from 11:30 to 2 a.m.
Aren't you tired? Tired of worrying whether mom remembered to take her medications? Tired of staring at the phone until you hear that dad made it home safe from the store? Isn't it about time for a change? There's a reason you keep hearing our name. There's a reason friends keep telling you to call us. For over a decade, Home Instead Senior Care has been giving peace of mind to Tar Heel families, providing the support that seniors need to age in place. There is a difference, and that difference is Home Instead. Home Instead Senior Care. To us, it's personal.
And now, WCHL presents the commentators.
This is Matt Bailey. There are a lot of reasons I'm excited about the FSS Fordham plan. Clearly, the roads in the area are broken. They're tricky for motorists, unfriendly for pedestrians, and downright dangerous for bicyclists. Clearly, the zoning is broken. Designed for the 1970s suburban sprawl era, property owners really don't have much choice than to gussy up their aging strip malls under the current code. Clearly, the tax base is broken. With so many shopping and dining choices across the county line, there's probably no part of town that bleeds more sales tax revenue than the FSS Fordham area. But it's not what the FSS Fordham plan would fix that most excites me. As a resident of nearby Colony Lake, it's what it would create that really excites me. The plan will add smaller, more pedestrian-friendly streets through what are now parking lots, making FSS Fordham the kind of place our family would like to walk or bike. By allowing property owners to move beyond the outdated strip mall model, the plan will create the kind of place we can hang out with our friends and neighbors, such as a sidewalk cafe or maybe a restaurant with a rooftop patio. The plan will create more retail and dining options near our neighborhood, which will mean we'll drive less to Durham to shop and eat. I sure wouldn't mind seeing more of our property tax revenue stay here in Orange County. The plan could even give me an office that's actually near my home someday. Most of all, I'm excited that the FSS Fordham plan will finally give our side of town a real center for our community, something we desperately lack today. Let's get the ball rolling on the FSS Fordham plan. When we do, FSS Fordham won't just be the name of an intersection, it will be the name of a place. This is Matt Bailey.
Is there a local issue you care about? You're invited and encouraged to contribute your own views on this or any other issue. The commentators, local people, local issues on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Healthy should be easier. At least we think so. We're Massage Envy Spa, and we're making healthy, customized massages easier for everyone to enjoy, especially you. We're all about easy scheduling, neighborhood locations, and a price that's easy to love. Just $49.99 for first-time guests. That's healthy. Only easier. That's Massage Envy Spa. Schedule today.
Locations in Eastgate and South Point. 1-800-944-ENVY.
Having a nice lawn is not impossible.
Our mission at Landscape Logic is to help you discover the possibilities for your landscape. We'll evaluate your landscape, prioritize your needs so that you can make a decision based on practicality or economics. We are qualified and committed to giving you the direction and care you need to create a finished and kept look for your landscape.
Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to visit LandscapeLogicNC.com. Landscape Logic, the logical choice for all your landscape needs.
Hi, this is Terry Sturdivant. Have you heard the big news? Sturdivant's Tire and Auto has joined the Tire Pros team, the nation's largest network of independent tire dealers. And during March and April, a portion of every tire sold will go to support our local Chapel Hill, East Chapel Hill, Cedar Ridge, Carrboro, and Northwood baseball programs. Come help us in our 11th annual high school baseball fundraiser. So come see the pros at Sturdivant's Tire Pros, located off Highway 54 West in Chapel Hill, just 5 quick minutes from Carrboro. Call us at 942-TIRE or visit 942tire.com.
Hello, this is Eric Montross, and you're listening to the WCHL Morning News with Ron Stutz.
All right, thank you, Eric. It is 8:54 at WCHL. Hey, you remember the word of the day from Wayne Pond? Actually, it didn't come from Wayne Pond today. It was Rand Northam substituting. What is the word? Begins with a P, a little hint there. Call me right now, tell me the word, spell it correctly, and define it correctly. I'll give you a $10 gift card to Cruisers. It's all brought to you by Franklin Street Realty, and your number to call right now, 919-929-WCHL.
This is Gerald Remoyne, General Manager, Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
The Orange County Department of Social Services provides protection for vulnerable children and adults, economic support for low-income individuals and families in crisis, and also intervention services to all at-risk people living here in Orange County. The agency serves as the access point for most state and federal human services programs. Sharon Hinton is Community Services Director for the department. She works hard every day making life better for other people. That's why Sharon Hinton is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
My goodness, I've been with the department for about 8 years, and I absolutely love it. No 2 days are the same. I enjoy helping individuals attain whatever services and help that they may need.
You wake up in the morning, and you look forward to getting to work.
I absolutely do. Yeah. Again, no 2 days are the same. People come in from the community with a variety of issues and services, gaps in services that they may need, and it's a pleasure to help to provide them with those services.
Why did you decide to get into that kind of work? I mean, I know it's meaningful to you. You go to work, you know that you can make a difference in people's lives. Why is this so important to you?
It's important to me because not only is it's my calling, I guess, if you will, for my career, but it's also something personal for me. Mm-hmm. It's an opportunity for me to give back, to help those that are less fortunate, and to also just to make a difference in someone's life.
Sharon, thank you for being where you are and doing what you do. And thanks for coming by to tell us about the Orange County Department of Social Services. I know it's a really busy agency, and you're a big part of it.
It really is, and I enjoy it. I thank you so much for inviting me today.
If you'd like to find out more about services provided by the Orange County Department of Social Services, simply go to the Orange County website. Sharon Hinton works hard with the Orange County Department of Social Services, looks forward to going to work every day, and gets a real kick out of her job because she makes life easier for other people. Sharon Hinton is today's WCHL Hometown Hero.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Congratulations to John Paul McClellan of Chapel Hill, called in with the word of the day. It is plethora, P-L-E-T-H-O-R-A. It's simply means an excess or an overabundance. Plethora. John Paul McClellan gets $10 gift card to Cruisers, and we'll have another word for you bright and early tomorrow morning on WCHL.
And now it's time for the professionals. Local services, expert insights on 97.9 FM WCHL.
I'm Mark Vitale, owner of All About Insurance, one of Nationwide's largest insurance agencies. I was raised a little different. My dad raised me that work was the essence of everything. I learned a lot, but mostly I learned that with hard work comes success. I go around the country helping people in the insurance industry build their businesses, and this is the first thing I say. First of all, you have to love what you do. I believe that it's a profession, it's not a job. And what you're doing is so very, very important for the families and the people you are helping, because if they lose their home and they don't have the correct protection, or they lose their auto, it could be someone poor and all they have is an auto. They get sick and they don't have the right health insurance. They die and they can't let the dreams that they've dreamed about be able to take care of their family. When I give a check to somebody that we've written, you know, to a spouse after another spouse has died, or to a family member, even though it's a terrible time, it's comforting to know that someone thought about the dreams that that family had. That's what insurance is all about. Assets can be replaced. Dreams can't be replaced. So you can call in Chapel Hill at 919-933-4000 or stop in at Nationwide Square at 1289 North Fordham Boulevard. Check us out at allaboutinsurancenc.com.
This has been The Professionals on 97.9 FM WCHL. Local services, expert insights. Today's Our Local Deal is from Progression Climbing. It's half off, $60 for an introduction to rock climbing package, including a two-week membership, available now for $30. Progression Climbing is a state-of-the-art climbing gym for climbers of all levels. Make sure to check out and register for their youth full-day summer camps for ages 5 to 14, and their youth climbing teams, both recreational and competitive, with weekly practices. You can register for these programs at climbprogression.com. This deal is available for a limited time, so buy it now at ourlocaldeal.com.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
100% chance of rain all day.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL. Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
9 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Setapani. Parts of the South are cleaning up after violence.